I will fight for you. I always do until my heart is black and blue. And I will stay. I will stay with you. We'll make it to the other side, like lovers do. I'll reach my hands out in the dark and wait for yours too. Until I can wait for you, I'll wait for you. Fight for you. I always do until my heart is black and blue.
Wow, what a great song, chosen by Vicky as well. Now, who is Vicky Vakondios? She's a Greek Australian woman raised in a very strict Greek upbringing who knew nothing other than how to work, cook, and clean. She started working at the age of 14 and by 16 had three jobs supporting her to move out. At age 18 was when she moved out. Her work was her idea of a social life. Vicky, raised to believe that this was her lot in life, ended up becoming a single mother of three very young children at the time and experienced a vicious cycle of domestic violence which caused homelessness and having to reside in women's refuges with her three children. However, Vicky's faith and experiences in the community sector guided her to be resilient and study as a single mother, which has led her to where she is today. She's now a trainer and assessor, delivering a diploma of community services to a band of students who absolutely love her. Vicky's also a strong advocate and advisor within the community sector. Her personality, according to students, which includes 33 young people from the ages of 19 to 50, drawn from locally and internationally, in a class situation on Mondays and Tuesdays. She has 140 learners online. What a heavy workload. Welcome, Vicky Vakondios, lecturer, all-round amazing person who has triumphed over the evils in our community to reach some amazing heights. And in addition, you are taking along so many young people. people with you. Welcome, Vicky.
Thank you, Beverly. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Now, you were saying something about the song I played, the Andy Grammer song, which was your choice.
Yes, yes. The gentleman that wrote that song was actually couch surfing when he wrote it. He was staying on the couch of a friend of his, yes. And I just thought, wow.
Well, we know about couch surfing, don't we?
We do. Yeah, yeah. We do, definitely.
My family couch surfed at the age of when I was at the age of six. So, fortunately, rescued by a very, very, very kind and generous granduncle. Now, Vicky, you and I met when I was chair, as I said earlier, of the Homelessness Advisory Committee. Your energy at the City of Melbourne, your energy and discipline impressed me beyond anything else. And in addition, your eagerness to share your story so others may benefit, which is fantastic. And in a nutshell, you found yourself to be in a refuge with three young children. I mean, tell us, just paint a picture for us.
Well, words can't really describe the experience when you're actually in it.
Yes.
You're basically living day by day with so many different strangers, you know, people that do still have addictions that have come from, you know, a vicious cycle and domestic violence. And we have young kids as well. So it's pretty turmoil. It's pretty crazy and hectic. But you do. You need to be strong and know that you will, you know, get out of that situation with the support when you reach out.
And that's what you did, really.
I did.
I mean, isn't it? You really kind of believed in yourself. You believed you had the ability to do that, which above all is so critical in our lives.
Definitely. We are in control of our own minds and, you know, power of the mind, I say. We can do anything we put our minds to, definitely, and what we really want.
Yeah. And I mean, I know your journey and I know it very well and it's still spliced with challenges. And at times, so much joy with that beautiful daughter of yours. Have you found your niche now, do you think? Have you found it is your time in lecturing, you know, in the community sector?
Yeah, I do, Beverly. I feel that educating is my niche. You know, at the moment, yes, and it has been for the past 5.5 years in the classroom as well as online and speaking to students. But I'm still active in the community sector and do some public speaking and consultations on a reference group for Homes Victoria. So I feel I was born to do that. And my journey allowed me to be able to, you know, use that knowledge that I have gained from the ground level up as high as a ministerial level. And I love it. It just brings so much joy to be able to, you know, educate others and share the knowledge that I have gained through my journey.
Yeah, and I think I remember 2013, I think it was, yes, 2013 International Women's Day, and you were the speaker at the Sofitel, and I was mesmerised by you, mesmerised that you could stand up there and talk so eloquently about where you'd been and garnering every woman in that room, garnering their support and their kind of love and care for you, really.
Thank you,
and someone who did a lot of that was the former Deputy Lord Mayor, Susan Riley.
Yes, I love that
our
woman.
Our great buddy.
Yes, yeah? Yes, definitely. Yeah, and, you know, it is women like yourselves who actually were able to feel that, you know, that confidence in me with the feedback and that admiration that you shared that you had for me. And it kept me going, you know, and to always think of all the other women that aren't able to use their voice or have not had opportunities to use their voice as well. And it keeps you going. It keeps you going and it gives you the strength as well and having faith, of course.
We talk about faith, you and I.
Yes,
you know,
we do.
And we both wear our crosses around our neck. you know, I always say you've got to have faith in yourself and faith in a higher being.
100%. Without that, I don't know where I would be today.
Great learning and great teaching as well. Now, tell us about your course, because that's important because you've now spent these years, you know, it was 10 years ago, really, or 11 years ago when I saw you on that platform speaking.
Yep.
And then you've evolved into a lecturer and while still doing your speaking engagements and all of that. But tell us about this course, the current diploma that is available as a traineeship for Australian citizens, while international students can also enrol and will be transferred into that new diploma from November. But just explain this, because someone listening to us who might have a grand child or a child who or a niece or a nephew who might be a little bit directionless. Okay. But this might just appeal, you know?
Yeah, of course. Okay, so look, unfortunately, this diploma will be superseded, which means it will no longer be available, and there is a new diploma that is being released by, of course, the government, the state government, in November. Mm-hmm. Anybody that has started, of course, you know, earlier last year, like later on in the year last year, will be transferred into the new diploma. But for our Victorian residents and who are permanent residents, it will be a traineeship. So it will be up to all of the community sector services to actually look into this. I think it would be very, very important and great for them, as well as there are government initiatives as well, mm-hmm. for them to be able to take on, you know, take on staff and traineeships, which, you know, will benefit not only the organisation but also the students, because they'll be studying.
Yeah. Okay.
At the same time as doing the ground level work, which personally for me will sort of cover less of the gaps that are already out there.
Yeah. I mean, are people willing to give these trainees while they're studying? Are organisations willing to give them some field work?
There are amazing organisations out there that are already doing that, and we do have students that are already on as traineeships. And I'm just hoping that more organisations get on board. You know, there's a high demand, and we have a lot of people who are experiencing vulnerability and need the support of these services. So the more workers that we get on the ground, you know, with experience, not just on the ground level as in the practical side of it, but also the study, I think it's very important. So hoping they look into it.
So run us through some of the modules that the kids are learning.
Okay, so
not kids. If they're 50 years of age, they're not kids, which is fantastic and a great opportunity.
Yeah, look, so there are new units that are coming into the new diploma. So we will have, there's units on drug and alcohol. We also have mental health courses and child, youth and family intervention courses as well, aged care, disability. So there's a whole heap, but we also, you know, things like assessing coexisting needs, drug and alcohol, Torres Strait and Aboriginal, you know, the cultural ones as well. Diversity is a few different codes for that. The domestic violence as well. And we also have the homelessness unit that's coming in. We have a lot developing, you know, programs as well.
I'm going to throw something at you, which I picked up in the weekend's papers, Vicky. It's headline, Tech for Stalkers Selling for $20. Websites endanger women, and it's apparently stalkerware. It's like you could get this app, I guess, and
to stalk women. I think it's disgusting.
I mean, this is unbelievable.
It's disgusting.
Surely this needs to be halted, you know. And for $20, you could. There's this protective group, Stephen Wilson. A picture of him with all the spyware devices removed from the property of women, which leads me to my question to you. And that is, you did get away.
Yes.
You did, and you've built a beautiful life.
Yes.
How hard was it to keep the perpetrator away?
Look, unfortunately, there was a bit of influence towards me in choices that I made to get away where I didn't need to, which means there needs to be more sort of, you know, programs and education
supports
out there on there. Well, the supports was there, but I think there needs to be a little bit more education around those topics. I won't even go into it.
Don't,
it's
please.
Too long.
No.
But I'll tell you what, look, there were times where, you know, I would call the police after an intervention order was, you know, taken out. And at the time, and that was a long time ago, it just felt irrelevant, to be quite honest. Mm. It just felt like a time waster, because that fear and nervousness walking on eggshells didn't go away. I called the police, because, you know, there's nowhere to take these men or women who are perpetrating this violence. There's no housing. There's no places where they can take them and say, okay, look, we've got housing for you. So they come back to the house.
Yes, of course.
Because they've got nowhere to go. And it's hard in every way.
And I guess in a way they're broken souls as well. I'm not trying to take the side of the perpetrators, but they are broken souls, you know?
I'm glad you said that, Beverly, because I fell in love with a beautiful person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I did not fall in love with somebody that was violent and had mental health and addiction. I saw that later on.
Mm-hmm.
Take away the addiction and the mental health. Mm. If there are stronger support services and different types of intervention which are not out there,
mm-hmm.
I do believe that men can stop being violent against women.
And women. There are some women,
and women
against
yes.
men as well.
So, 100%.
But it is predominantly
yes.
men against women.
Yes.
So in this role with the state government, do you have a chance? Is there an opportunity for you to kind of use that lived experience and knowledge that you've garnered
yep.
to kind of get some things happening?
Well, being on the Homes Victoria reference group, the mm-hmm. first ever yes. lived experience reference groups, I'm hoping that, yes, I can put in my views and my advice in what is actually needed and types of intervention when it comes to housing as well and mm-hmm. homelessness services.
Yeah.
So that's what we're aiming for as a reference group, to make changes and obviously put, you know, forward to the government in the hope that change does happen, which it does.
Yeah. I guess housing is a big question, isn't it? It's a big thing. Vicky, we're going to go to a sponsor announcement. I know it's hard breaking when we're talking about something so important, but I need to do this, please. And you're on Pinder's Ponderings with Vicky Vakondios. Vicky, I've done my research and have received comments about you and your approach to work, and these include, they're very important, Vicky, you know, lively and relatable with a positive attitude, easygoing and down to earth, engaging, good at keeping attention, very sensitive to each individual and their needs. So empathetic, obviously, very, very empathetic. Realistic, powerful and responsible to everyone in class, ensuring students are safe, not only at IFEA, the place where they study in the city, but it's also the students' workplace. Smart, inspiring and empowering, makes everyone feel welcome and loved, shares a lot of lived experience and helps us learn more, inspires us to be better people, moulding us to be the best community service workers in Australia. Now, these are the sorts of comments, Vicky, that one would expect to receive about a direct line manager, not a teacher, a lecturer, teacher. What, I mean, there's obviously something very special about your approach. Now, does this come from a deep-seated feeling that, you know, perhaps what you didn't get that you must give? Or where does it come from for someone who has been broken?
Exactly, being broken, Beverly. I think when you've reached a point in your life where you can only see darkness and, you know, contemplate whether you even want to be here or even exist as a human being,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty full on. And I think after experiencing those feelings and what I did, it is so important for me to make people feel so special and loved, and because we are all unique, and I like to bring that out in people. I like to show people who, you know, for them to be able to see themselves through my eyes and everyone else's eyes, and of our Creator, of course.
Mm, absolutely.
Mm.
And I think that's, you know, upon meeting you, obviously when I first met you, I did not know the story, but I learned about it at breakfast, that breakfast that morning in 2013. And you struck me as someone who was inimitably able to be moulded. But you would, you know, you can try to mould people, but the acceptance is not there, or the absorption, or whatever. Mm. And then someone like me, who kind of mentors people and likes to see the, you know, get the best out of yep. everyone, I kind of sometimes feel, oh my gosh, am I going a bit too far? But you know what? I don't think yeah. you can ever go too far.
Yeah. No, I don't think so either. And I personally wouldn't look at it as I'm moulding someone, but allowing them to recognise their strengths.
Mm.
That I actually see in them, and as an observer and, of course, as an assessor, I can't help but to do that. And it's about them being able to have that choice on whether they want to be a better version of themselves and what they can be.
Brilliantly put. I mean, obviously you've got a very innate understanding about human nature and people in general. And that's why you're on this Homes Victoria panel as well. And you were on the Homelessness Advisory Committee, yep, and a great contributor to it. And there's also Ask Izzy. You did a lot of work with Ask. Do you want to just give us a bit of a rundown,
yeah,
on Ask Izzy?
I love Ask Izzy. So Ask Izzy, the website, if you're in, just in quick words,
yes,
if you're needing support, some type of support anywhere out within the community sector, go to Ask Izzy. It's a website.
Can we spell that? Ask, A-S-K.
A-S-K-I-Z-Z-Y. Mm-hmm. And basically you will choose, you have the control of choosing what you need. Once those you put your postcode in, every single service within your area and catchment areas will come up. That wasn't there when I was experiencing my hardship and homelessness. So when Ask Izzy was brought out in 2000, I think it was 14, I've been on the development, through the development process of Ask Izzy, and one of my favourite websites, and I am on the PAG, which is a project advisory group as well,
mm-hmm,
still continuing to do work with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, it's brilliant. I have got out of touch with Ask Izzy, but I will jump onto it again, because from time to time I have friends who also need that support, you,
yeah,
know. So let's talk about the issues and challenges, because this is another area that's very close,
yeah,
to my heart,
mm-hmm,
and this is international students, okay?
Yes.
The challenges they face, we know that the growth of international education has been unbelievable.
Yep.
Some would say probably too much too soon.
Yes.
And I might be a little bit of a believer in that. But I also say, if you're bringing the kids out, because you've got to remember, they don't have their mum, they don't have their,
yeah,
dad.
Yep.
They end up with landlords who are ripping them off with, you know, accommodation that's not even maintained well.
Yeah.
They have identity issues.
Mm.
There's no money to buy food sometimes, you know,
yeah,
with the reduction in jobs available since COVID as well.
Yep.
So, I mean, we've had some big foreign student numbers, and it's multiplied fivefold.
Mm.
I don't know whether this information is current, but my research tells me it is. As of recent data, there were over 700,000 international students enrolled in Australian institutions across various levels of education,
yep,
including higher education, vocational and training, which is the VET system. English language courses and schools. Now, some may say, as I said, this has gone too far,
right,
but clearly the education sector is benefiting from it. And one of the things that when I was at town hall, I always said to the kids,
yeah,
you know, your parents are paying a fortune for you to study here,
right,
and universities do have a duty. And yes, they did actually come through during COVID. Not,
yeah,
with, you know, not, there's a lot of prodding from us at council to do that. But they do, there's a lot of money being made by them. I'm not talking about the private colleges as much,
right,
as the major institutions,
yep,
you know, because I think the care and the duty of care at private colleges sometimes, or certainly during that COVID period, far exceeded.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, look, I'm glad you actually know what you know, Beverly, because it's very rare. And I myself was somebody that was very uneducated when it came to international students.
Mm.
It's quite sad. I actually received a message just before from a friend of mine who's also a colleague, and said to me that the government now is saying that international students must have savings of $30,000 before they can come here or even be looked at to come to Australia to study. Now, the thing with that is they've always had to have a certain amount of money in savings before they come and study here.
To cover medical expenses and whatever.
To show, yeah, that you, sure, can, to show that you can live.
Yeah.
But with inflation, lack of housing and what's going on, and there's so much more to it, how are those savings supposed to sit?
Mm.
And also one thing I think people are very unaware of, that our international students are not allowed to work more than 24 hours a week.
Is it 24 or 20?
24 hours, from
is
my
it
knowledge.
24, is
it's
it?
24
right.
hours.
Okay.
And on school holidays, of course, it's unlimited.
Mm.
So there's a lot of burnout happening out there. There's so much pressure on all of our international students. It's quite sad,
yeah,
to see.
But what percentage do you think of the, and you probably don't know the percentage, but is there a big number of international students whom you have in your course?
Yeah, we have a lot, not just in my course, but across the board.
Yeah, we do.
We have a lot of international students, and I can't even tell you how many the larger universities have either. Oh. There are so many, and you know, with the rent, food, all of those costs, they also have to pay their fees as well.
Now, that's exactly right.
You know,
and I think the parents pay these initial fees, and then they say to their kids, well, work, get a job. We know in Australia you can find a job, continue to pay your fees,
but also
send some money back home.
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, another thing as well, a lot of international students also have agents as well, and they have to see lawyers. So costs in that as well. And now with our new courses coming in, unfortunately, we as an RTO and universities out there as well and TAFEs, we have no idea on what is going on because we haven't been given the full information, which means our international students don't have information. So they're sort of stuck. They could finish the course earlier and have to go back to their own country a lot sooner than what they were supposed to, or they can extend to be transferred in the new course, which means more money for them to spend on lawyers and extensions and visas.
Exactly. Let's talk about something positive, work opportunities
no
for
worries.
These kids, you know, because
yeah, of course we need to, positive.
I mean, I mentor a Nepalese student. And she's spent the last 5 or 6 weeks without a job. The job that one of the jobs I found her. So my husband and I have been helping her with getting, doing a course, an aged care course, a quick one, mm-hmm. Paid for that. And I've had her at my place helping me do some work for I'm going to Sri Lanka on Friday for my book launch. So it's been great for her to earn some money, you know.
Yes.
But. How can organisations better support international students to secure those job opportunities? And are there the job opportunities?
There are. Mm-hmm. And I think, a lot of organisations do get on board. We have a lot of contacts within the aged care system as well and disability services. But one of our managing director, PK, he actually holds an employer information session once a month.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, it is amazing. So a lot of our students, well, probably majority, more than most, are employed. And through these employer sessions, it's not just for the international students, it's also for local students as well. So we have at least, you know, seven more or more employers that literally come.
Fabulous.
And they have all their information sessions and students are able to apply and, you know, even speak with the employer before even applying to get a job.
And gain some confidence that 100%. There is work out there.
Yeah, and they come with their resumes and, you know, there are jobs. But at the same time, you know, some struggle to find it because not everybody has got that confidence, and especially if their mental health is not, you know, okay at the time with everything that's happening with inflation.
Yes.
And lack of housing and all of that.
Cost of living.
That's the quicker way to say
as
it.
It's
yes.
Called.
Yeah. So,
Vicky, we're talking a lot about this course, and I should mention it's ITHEA, isn't it?
That's right.
ITHEA.edu.au. Thank you for sharing all information with us, because I think it also has appeal. To any women who are out there who have had to run away and, look at various ways to try and find employment.
100%.
Like you have. I mean, this is amazing.
Yeah. I think it's important for those women to also know, even men, as you said before as well, or even our youngsters who are trying to find a path and, you know, out in the community sector. It's good to know that there's also a lot of jobs in peer support work now. Lived experience is like gold out there.
Really?
So there are a lot of opportunities out there for those who have had different types of experiences, you know, within their lives to use it to their advantage and switch that to knowledge and courage to be able to go out there and help others who are probably going through the same thing or similar things.
Of course, yeah. Now, housing is an important issue, and you're on that panel as well.
Yep.
What are some of the challenges that students are currently facing in finding affordable and suitable housing?
Yep.
And is there any discrimination? Because I have a girlfriend, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago. She is a photographer of long standing, but she visited 60 houses to find a place for her to live, to shift from St Kilda to wherever, and it was depressing.
Yeah. It's, you know, look, I've heard people, you know, say, oh, these people come from overseas and take up everything and housing and all of that. You know what? That's not true at all. Housing is hard for anybody, no matter who you are. You could be the colour pink. It doesn't matter. Okay. It's really hard to get into housing. But unfortunately, with our international students, it is harder because they don't have any references here in Australia. So when you don't have references and you've come to a new country, well, who's going to want to give you their house not knowing who you are or you don't have any references?
Well, can I tell you, we did give a house to this Nepalese couple.
That's nice.
And can I also say to you, they look after it in an unbelievable way.
Yeah.
Beautiful living, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you can't judge. No,
unfortunately, you know, it is what it is, and there are no references, and you know, people will have a lack of trust as well. And so a lot of the students are going into shared accommodation, which can be very scary, especially for the young girls. We have, you know, there's students that are as young as 19 and 20, not just we're at IThea, but you know, and they have nobody here. So it's very intimidating and very scary as well.
Yeah. So what about the actual, you know, restrictions with visas and compliance? And my God, it's a minefield, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as you said, money is being spent on lawyers. I hope the lawyers are not kind of doing the wrong thing by these kids. So in terms of the anxiety and stress that this can cause for international students in particular, but even if you're a mum in regional Victoria and you're sending your son or daughter to Melbourne to find a place to live and go to Melbourne University or whatever. It's tough, isn't it?
Of course it is. Of course it is. And I see it. I see it a lot. And I see, you know, they're very strong. They're very strong-minded and they keep as positive as they possibly can. But I can see through it. So, you know, I do. We're all open ears and listen to our students and, you know, give them as much as we possibly can in whatever way we can emotionally, you know, as well. And just talk to them and be there for them, you know, and reaching out and asking them, are you okay?
Yeah,
so not true. Just, you know, it's not just about studying and, okay, I'm your trainer and this is how it is. No, it's not. It's more than that.
I know you love your kids. I know you do. Vicky, we're going to go to some sponsor announcements in a few seconds, but that's so important what you've just said, you know. Students are there. My feeling when I was at Town Hall was that they have no one really until they form friendships and build trust with people as well. But that's the international student side. But we do have our domestic students to also worry about.
Yes.
And that's very important, you know. So let's go to some sponsor announcements and we'll come back to you.
88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
I found a love for me. Well, darling, just dive right in and follow my lead. Well, I found a girl, beautiful and sweet. Well, I never knew you were the someone waiting for me. Just kids when we fell in love, not knowing what it was. I will not give you up this time. Darling, just kiss me slow. Your heart is all I own, and in your eyes you're holding mine. Song. When you said you looked a mess, I whispered underneath my breath, but you heard it, darling, you look perfect tonight. Well, I
than anyone I know. She shares my dreams. I hope that someday I'll share her home. I found the love to carry more than just my secrets, to carry love, to carry children of our own.
I think I have an angel in front of me right now. Before we get back to Vicky, if I can talk about the mural for Wells Street Park. A new mural is bringing colour and art to the park behind Church Street Shopping Village. Artist Peter Daverington's mural design creates a Trompe l'Oeil effect, incorporating a finely detailed landscape in the Romantic tradition with a geometric framework, giving the illusion of three panels. Worthwhile getting down there and checking it out. There are $7,500 grants now open, the annual community grants. They're closing next week. Local not-for-profit groups that contribute to making Bayside a better place to live can now apply for a community grant. Grants of up to $7,500 are available for initiatives which strengthen and enrich community life through the provision of an improved range of leisure, cultural, community development, environmental health, education, sporting and welfare programs and activities. Wow, brilliant if we can apply for those grants and, you know, one or two of you get them. Bayside Roving Repair Program at Sandy Eco Expo. Now, I love this. This is on this Saturday, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., enjoy an afternoon of repairs at the upcoming Roving Repair event being held as part of the larger Sandy Eco Expo. Some of the activities at the expo include bicycle repair workshop, garden produce swap, secondhand clothes market, and much more. And on the day of Roving Repair, experts in textiles, wood, crockery, and other small items will be there to support you to develop the skills and confidence to repair these items instead of throwing them away. Saturday, 11 May, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., Sandy Beach. Go along to the Bayside Volunteer Expo. And Friday nights at the NGV are big. We'll talk about those later, but there, that's a really good program the NGV has. And Vicky's just popped into my hands a magazine, and it's only called Marie Claire, of course. It was April 2020, and there's a big feature on you, Vicky. Unbelievable. Amazing. My God. She's hardworking, educated, and has dedicated years of her life to raising a family. The fastest growing group of homeless people in Australia isn't men sleeping on park benches, but single women who are couch surfing and living in cars and hostels in record numbers. Georgie Dent's story reports on the shocking epidemic, the beautiful picture of Vicky. And you know what, Vicky? It is an invisible crisis, as we said earlier. It really is. And I just want to know from you, how did you feel when this article? I mean, firstly, you obviously agreed to it. I mean, Georgie Dent's a brilliant journo.
Right. Yes, I did. And, okay, I'm going to be honest. I didn't really hear of that magazine, and they reached out to me, and I was talking to a friend and said, oh, there's a magazine, you know, they reached out to me, they want me to do a story on, you know, they're basing it on Australian women and homelessness in Australia. And she asked me what the magazine was, and I said Marie Claire, and she's like, what? She was like crazy because she's a big fan of Marie Claire, and you know, I won't go right into what she was saying. She made a very big deal out of it, and I said, oh, okay. And you know what? The fact that it was based on homelessness and women in Australia, I thought, why not? I've had the experience. I've broken that cycle, so much to offer, but not just that. I think people should not be embarrassed of things they go through within their life and, you know, even in the world we live in. And I just thought, you know what, I will do it. Why not? People need to know the truths. And, of course, as you know, when COVID hit, more than most people ended up homeless.
I know. Yep.
Who had businesses.
Absolutely.
It can happen to anyone. Hence why I spoke out and said yes.
So, you know what, You have had many different experiences.
Yes.
And you've also done a lot of speaking engagements, which is sensational because it takes a lot of emotion to write a speech and then deliver that speech as well. What areas do you feel you can make an impact on for others, for anyone listening out there who might think, my God, I'd love to make contact with you and have a chat, have a coffee maybe. I mean, I know you work, so it's going to be hard. But nonetheless, I think there's something here. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a collection of stories that you and I can do if people do contact you. But what areas do you think you have greatest impact?
Oh, my goodness.
It's as long as your arm, right?
Yes. Can I just say, I actually do not write speeches. I do not write. I will come to you and I will say, what do you want your audience to take away? What is it? What's the message? And I just go from there.
God, I wish I could be like you.
Well, there are different types of experiences that I've had. So yes. I know it so well. The only thing is my brain's a little bit like the Matrix. So I have to like just quickly choose what I'm going to say out of all of those experiences that I've had. But I can touch on a lot of things, Beverly, and I would say a lot to do with youths. Of course, mothers with single children, unless they're fathers with single children. So let's just say families.
Yes.
Also, you know, with young children to middle age, high school, out of high school, young adults, the justice system. Oh, my goodness. Oh. The justice system.
Can you talk about that?
I feel like I could bring so much into the justice system for so many families, actually, that suffer due to what happens to their loved ones when it does come to the justice system as well, and also because of the children who experience, you know, hardship as children and domestic violence, homelessness, mental health, drug addiction. You know, there's so much that impacts these children of ours. There needs to be early intervention. I know there's talk right now about working with families and relationships. There needs to be a lot of intervention before our children become adults and it affects their lives.
Yeah, I mean, so true. It's couch surfing and domestic violence. Mm-hmm. I know very well as a child. I also know, like you, I picked up the bat and ball and said, you know what, I'm going to get on with my life. From the age of about 3, I made that decision.
Yeah.
And I've never looked back. Respected my father and my mother greatly, but there was so much of it happening in the house that it was quite frightening. And you are right. When kids as young as 2, 3, 4, 5, kids of any age really see this happening in families. Mm-hmm. You know, what do they do? What do they think?
Yeah. Beverly, there's so much that goes on that, you know, it's very important to say that schools need to get on board with the interventions as well and the type of support from teachers and not, you know, unfortunately there are a lot of teachers that like to be in control and yell and scream.
Mm.
Kids and teenagers don't need that.
No. Vicky, I respect you greatly and I've chosen a song that I really want to play before 10 o'clock news.
What you want, baby, I got it. What you need, you know I got it. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you come
just
home.
Just a little bit,
hey, baby,
just a little
when
bit.
When you're down home, just a little bit, mister,
just a little bit.
Aretha Franklin and Respect. My God, that's what I've got plenty of for this woman sitting in front of me. I think we've got to get in touch with Marie Claire, and they need to see how you have evolved since 2020, Vicky Vakondios. Don't you think?
Well, it'd be nice to. I do a lot of advocacy, and you know, around homelessness, domestic violence, and all the different types of situations that I have been in. It would be nice to have someone say, hey, we want to see you as you, not with the topics around my life.
Yes, good one. Excellent.
I think and my experiences.
I think you've moved on. And,
yes.
But you've moved on beautifully, but you're prepared to also put back and give back.
Of course.
Which
always.
Is great. I mean, you've landed at the best place in town, IThea Education
right.
College. What's it like to work there? I mean, you know... It's no more 5 days a week.
Yes.
It's work from home as well.
Yeah. If I do need to, I'll work from home. I do like going into the city, except for the traffic in the morning. Look, I've been there, it'll be 6 years this year. And the reason why I've stayed at IThea is because I absolutely love it. The fact that they give the different types of opportunities for our students as well. But most importantly, Beverly, the fact that I am still able to have engagement within the community sector. The fact that they do not say, no, this is your job. You cannot go out and be on committees or engage. It's very important for me to keep in the know about what goes on within the sector. Now, me being involved means on these committees and everything else I do in the speaking, I get to network as well with organisation, you know, people from other organisations, but also within the community services sector as a whole. The fact that they have never stopped me to keep reaching and growing and stepping up, to me, that's priceless, because I know there's a lot of employers out there that don't sort of give that to their, you know, employees and allow them to go out and run and do things because they have to focus on the, you know, on where they are at work and they can't leave.
You're a fountain of information, and it's so great to hear that you've got an employer. You found an employer who is so generous in terms of that. And that is part of being community, isn't it?
100%. And that's why I love it, because they're all about that. If they weren't about that, I wouldn't be there for so long.
And I do think if Father Bob were around here in this studio this morning, he'd be saying, good on ya. You know, that's exactly what they should be doing, because 100%. This girl is all about the unloved and the unlovely. You know, and at one stage in your life, perhaps you actually thought you were unloved and possibly unlovely. A beautiful looking woman.
Stop.
You are. Absolute delight to have you here. That website is ithea.edu.au. If you want to get in touch with Vicky, is there a contact page there?
There's a website there, and if potential students, if they're interested, there's enough information for them to watch.
But not only
and
students,
well.
I'm thinking this might could lead into a blog of some sort that you start. You know that and you engage with people. On this level, right. I think it's so important that you and I need to have a bit of a brainstorm and work through how we can actually get more of this sort of message out there.
Right.
Because you are filled with messages, and you astonish me when you say you don't write your speeches. I have to.
I can't. I get nervous. I get nervous, and I don't even say what I write if I try.
But I guess also there's so much emotion involved with what you do, what you say, how you speak.
I call it a gift, Bev.
It is an absolute gift.
It's a gift that I have been given.
Darling, and I tell you what, you have made such a huge discovery of you.
Thank
you. And I think that is the most important message here today, that each and every one of us can actually delve into ourselves and say, well, look, this life is not for me. I have to work out how I'm going to walk out.
100%. There's always a way.
Yeah. And that's so important. We're onto the news right now. Thank you, Vicky.
Thank you, Beverly.